Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. This is Roy Jones, the white guy, and Will Hardy is still on vacation, enjoying some time off. And folks, we just want to welcome you to the show. We've got an amazing afternoon planned for you. This is going to be a very special show, one that I've had in the back of my mind for doing for quite some time. And this is where I get an opportunity to interview my youngest son, Joshua. So welcome to the show, Joshua.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, Joshua is our youngest son and also our youngest child. We've just been very blessed with all of our children, as I'm sure many of you have. And what I'd like to do is just kind of let Josh tell you a little bit about himself. Before we get started, I'll just lay a little bit of groundwork for him. He is an Army reservist. He's a college student. He's an engineer program at school. And when he comes out of school, his intentions are to go active for a few years and just get a little bit different flavor of what the military is like at that level. So with that, Josh, welcome to the show. Why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head. So those are basically, I guess, the overviewing points of my life. I'm in college for electrical engineering, and I think a passion that I have is to mentor young men, and I guess just the people around me. Obviously it's easier as a man to mentor men. You know, there's a certain gap that gets bridged between the genders as far as how far you can take certain recommendations and conversations. But, certainly have a passion for men around me. I'd like to be able to disciple everybody around me in some form or fashion. So
that leads into my first question with you, which obviously being on the show, people generally assume that they're Christ followers that we're talking with, but how are you a Christian, and more importantly, are you a follower of Christ, will be the question first.
I guess, both, and I consider myself like a disciple of Christ, I guess you would say.
Well, that's even better. It means you're always in learning mode, right?
Trying to be. That's certainly the goal.
Which, folks, he's much better at learning today than he was under my watch, that's for sure. So he's learning a whole lot greater as an adult. A follower of Christ, which is great. And Josh, let me ask you a question, and I'll kind of give you a little bit of overview of some of the things we were going to talk about. But how important as a young man was it for you to grow up in a Christ-centered home?
I think growing up, I didn't see the value in it quite as much until you branch out and see how other people are raised. When your life experience is so little and you don't see outside perspectives, growing up how you grow up, that's just how it is.
So that is the truth in that moment.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
And then when you branch out and then you see how other people your age behave, or how, children of other parents behave. And then you start to, as you mature, you can kind of value the lessons that have been taught, and you can kind of retroactively see, okay, these are my habits and this is how I behave. And then you can look back and say, well, the foundation of my raising contributed to that. So it's like growing up, you don't value it. And then it's not until you see the impact it has on your life at a moment that you can appreciate it, that it really impacts you. So growing up, I would say, to be honest, it didn't matter to me growing up, because that's how life was. Mm-hmm. That's the ins and outs. And then I'm here where I'm at, and I can say, wow, it's absolutely instrumental in who I am as a man, and how it has affected my ministry. And then I appreciate it because, I'm in a position where You know, I mentor men and even, you know, women from time to time, and they, you know, give insight to how they were raised, you know, the things they struggled with. And, you know, I'm like, well, I didn't have that issue because of how I was raised or things that happened in my household. So,
right. So that was what my next question. How has this impacted you as a young man in college? And you've kind of done a nice job leading into that. And let's talk about their college life. You know, obviously you came through high school, and what age were you, Joshua, when you got saved?
I want to say, you know, probably sometime like in early elementary school, you know, obviously being raised in the church, that was, you know, the expectation. So, you know, I got baptized and accepted Christ into my heart at a very young age. And then, you know, I didn't have an issue believing, you know, the stories and the history that the Bible tells. And then, you know, as you mature as a more, as a person, you know, talks about, you know, when I became a man, I put childish things away, you know, as a child, what the things you value are like toys and whatnot or playtime. But, you know, as I matured, you know, I started to value the lessons I was being taught and started to value my faith, I guess would be an answer to that kind of.
Well, if we can roll back for just a moment to your junior high and high school years, the foundation that was laid in your household, how did that help you dealing with the temptations? So even though you weren't as appreciative of the way you were being raised or the way that you had been or were being taught at the time, was that instrumental in keeping you somewhat out of trouble in high school from doing the wrong things, making the right decisions, that sort of thing?
Yeah, certainly. So I think, you know, the very start, I would say the start of my real faith was like middle school, right? Because that's when I stepped into youth group, and then you branch out into public school and start having to put those things into practice. So, you know, that's when I started trying to put those values into action, you know, whether it be basically just trying to maintain my character and represent Christ, you know, and then as, again, it's a maturing process. And, you know, I think, you know, to an extent, you never really stop changing as a person. But so from the transition from middle school to high school, it became less about, you know, being a Christian and letting people know that, as opposed to actually having to put Christian concepts and Christian habits, I guess, or Christ following lifestyles into play. So certainly as I transitioned to high school, you know, I guess the ability to, or the opportunity to get into trouble certainly doubled. But, you know, I think that would be where my raising was more instrumental in saying, hey, like I have my whole life ahead of me. So therefore, let me surround myself with people who aren't going to jeopardize my future. Mm. So, you know, I stayed around, you know, not everybody I hung out with was Christian. Certainly majority of my friends, you know, in the public school system weren't. But they also, you know, most of them had a pretty good head on them. And then even then, you know, I was taught, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. And I had the Bible to back that up growing up. So those values and those morals were what I would apply to, I guess, my habits and keeping myself out of trouble by saying, okay, like I can see what you're doing. Like I want no part of that.
Right. That's interesting you say that about the non-Christian friends or non-Christ followers. It's because you had the opportunity and joy and blessing to lead several of those young men to the Lord, as I've watched you through the years, and some in high school, some outside of high school. And, you know, I think because you were who you were and you stood on your standards, that gave you an opportunity to speak to those men, young men, in a way that had you been running off course and running wild, you wouldn't have had that opportunity to share with them. And they were looking up to you, I think, before you even realized that.
And you most definitely, and I heard a saying, it's, you know, share the gospel always and use words when necessary. And that's kind of the lifestyle I try to live, to where, you know, people can see Christ in my life, before I ever have to, say a word about it. And, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier said than done, but so long as that's, the goal in mind and that's what you're striving for, you know, it's not always doable. You know, we slip up and, you know, maybe I let a word loose here, I say something bad, or, you know, I act out of character and here or there, but, you know, the end goal is always, you know, let my actions reflect Christ.
Right.
Let me lead people to the gospel before I have to talk to them. Mm.
You know, it's interesting, Josh. So one of the things that we say quite often on the show, and you remember Uncle Dale, one of the things he would always say is, you know, your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. And that's, as we say often on the show, that can be a really positive thing or that can be a really bad thing. And if it's a positive thing, it's just that people are seeing the life that you're living as a follower of Christ and the soul of the person through your actions. And the same holds true, right? If you're going the other direction, if you're saying one thing and doing something else, that certainly creates challenges in your witness and being able to share your story.
Yeah, definitely. And I think your actions are definitely the standard to which your words are set. You know, like if the gold standard backs up our money or used to, your actions back up your words.
Right.
So people value your words or value your currency based on what's backing it up.
Mm, that's good. Now, do you have a network of young men, Joshua, and within college? You know, we refer to them as accountability groups or fire teams, that sort of thing that you're a part of within college. And how important is that to you?
Yes, I do. So, the model was laid out for me, you know, biblically that, you know, as a man, you want a Paul to speak into your life, a Barnabas to walk beside you, and a Timothy to mentor. And, you know, maybe not everyone's ready for a Timothy, but a Barnabas and Paul are always, you know, attainable. So I certainly have all three of those. And right now, you know, I guess you're asking about my Barnabases and my Timothys. So, you know, Monday nights I lead a group of about, you know, I think to right now we're at six of us total, you know, six including me. So I mentor five men on a weekly basis. And, you know, on Sunday nights I have three other men who come under me for guidance and leadership. So, you know, I mentor them on a weekly basis, and, you know, the accountability part comes where they're my Barnabases and walking through life with me. So, you know, I teach them about biblical manhood and try and prepare them for life. And, you know, kind of in return, you know, they watch my back accountability wise, you know, they hold me to the standards that I set, you know, they expect my actions to line up with my words. And that's been absolutely instrumental, in my walk with Christ through college. Certainly, there's something to be said about having people who are willing to push you, on a weekly basis and push you to be better than yourself. Like that's one aspect of it. But then, you know, you come into the aspect of I'm a leader now. And depending, you know, I want to be the best leader that I can possibly be. And I want to be the greatest influence on the men that I can possibly be. Well, how do I do that? So being a leader now and having that goal in mind has, you know, I've asked my question, you know, how do I do that? So then you look to the Bible and you look to Jesus Christ, and he was basically a servant leader, and that's kind of what I base my mind on.
Right. So when we come back here, and we're going to really take a break in just a few seconds, but one of the things I thought that was interesting, you talked about the Paul Barnabas and Timothy, and you spoke about the Barnabases in your life, and may or may not have his true Timothys, right? Because you got a lot of guys alongside of you and mentoring. But we'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a break, and we'll pick this topic back up on the Paul in his life.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Meet us at the summit starting February 4th, 2022. You're invited to a special two-day event. TAWCMM presents the Summit Conference, a conference so big we need 2 days for it all. Day one kicks off at 6:30 p.m. with a special co-ed event at the First Christian Church in Kernersville. Then you'll get to hear a message from speakers Lee Strobel, Jerry Boykin, and Bishop Larry Jackson. Day two is a men's one-day conference from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They'll have a multitude of speakers like Lee Strobel, Jerry Boykin, Bishop Larry Jackson, Pat Teague, and Bishop Charles Flowers. For tickets or more information, visit TAWCMM.com. Don't miss your chance to meet us at the summit on February 4th, 2022.
Welcome back to the show. If you weren't here at the introduction of the show, this is Roy Jones, the white guy. And interestingly enough, I've had the blessed opportunity to bring my son, youngest son Joshua, onto the program, and just we're doing a father's interview with his son, you know, and asking some questions that we haven't really talked about before. I've just kind of watched in the background and on the sidelines, and some which we have talked about. And so, Joshua, as we were left for break, one of the things that came up was the accountability groups and the small groups, and you mentioned the Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy, which every man should have those three in his life. And those roles may change over time and through the seasons. And typically a Paul may not change because he may be with you for quite some time. Barnabas will come and go. And certainly the Timothy that you're feeding into, those guys will change too over time. You mentioned that, and this is from an overview. Who is that Paul in your life? You don't have to go by name, but do you have a man there in Charlotte or – in that area, or is it several guys that you lean on? Or,
So, I mean, I guess excluding you, right, as the father figure and the one who raised me, like outside of that, you know, you certainly laid the foundation for what it was that I'm looking for. I've had about, you know, three or four people, throughout my college experience. Certainly my youth pastor was a big influence in high school. And then, I've had, two or three Pauls in my life who all served a different purpose as a mentor, right? You know, one of them showed me, the guide to mentorship. What does it look like to be a mentor? How to mentor? What does it look like to be a healthy man as far as like, the different aspects of the soul? It's not just spiritual, there's financial health, there's mental health, physical health and spiritual health, and even a couple more. And just having those as a well-rounded man, I had another mentor who taught me what it looked like to, give and be selfless. I have a man who from a perspective would have everything you could ever want, very, very wealthy and, as humble as can be and, kind of showed what it looks like to have everything and to not let money spoil who you are and how to use money and, understand that, it's not your money, it's God's money. And then, my latest mentor who I meet with pretty regularly, just showing what it looks like to serve, very similar to my second mentor. He's financially kind of helps me out with projects and stuff, but he's just like, takes whatever time I want, to help me build things, to do things, at no cost to myself. And then, is texting me what he's learning about, what God's teaching him. So, through that, I've been able to take that, mentorship and the lessons I learned from them and pass them on to my groups.
Well, that's really good, Joshua. I appreciate you sharing that component. In your college life, how has your walk with Christ impacted your learning at school, and what is the school downloading into you from a spiritual perspective, or trying to deter you from a spiritual perspective?
As an electrical engineer, there's not a lot of time for lollygagging when it comes to the curriculum once you get into your major. So for me, the school hasn't downloaded too much other than what it is I need to know, but I've certainly had a class here or there, that certainly wanted to get very focused into the race or gender politics, very one-sided, very polarizing and didn't open up, very good of a conversation to have, it was just, this is the way it is. X, Y, and Z people are responsible for it, and you need to tell me, write a paper, why is that, So that's not very much the case for electrical engineering or engineering and STEM in general, I don't think. But it certainly is an issue, I would say, in the university systems today. So.
Is faith encouraged, walk with Christ encouraged from a campus perspective? Is it readily available for, say, a non-believer who's searching and says, hey, I would like to dive into what it looks like to be a Christ follower? Is that something that is readily available and visible, or is it something that's basically out of sight, out of mind, that you really, a person has to know someone to how to find those resources?
So I guess there are two sides to that. You know, from my experience, which is, you know, very limited as far as someone who deals with university politics, I certainly haven't found an issue in getting involved, you know, because they basically treat religious organizations like any other club. So, you know, you just got to go through the right steps and channels to become a club, and you're allowed to advertise just like anybody else's. But certainly, you know, universities tend to lean one way politically. And sometimes that gets in the way of which religions they want to push or not push. So I would say, you know, at least my school does a very good job of allowing, you know, Christian organizations to function like any other organization.
That's good. So for say a new college student arriving on campus, those resources or should be readily available, or clubs or activities if they're looking for things that are a group of Christ followers, Christians, to do. They've just got to basically seek that out through the administration, through the club organizations, et cetera.
Yeah, you just got to know where to look. As far as my understanding, most Christian resources aren't going to be resources, but rather clubs.
Right.
Now, certainly the university does provide, like, you know, university resources. And as to which way, you know, what kind of resources those are, I'm not very sure because I don't seek those out.
Right. So everything that you're currently doing is basically on your own with a group of guys. There's no sponsorship for the school level.
In my case, yes. But, you know, I do have friends who lead Christian organizations that are official school organizations, and they get the same support and funding. Right. So they could get minor sponsorship.
What do you think is the most challenging part of being a Christ follower and being a student in college?
You know, I think the most challenging part is how serious you're going to take your faith, right? You know, it can be as challenging as, it can be very challenging if you take your faith very seriously, or it can be not challenging at all if your faith is on Sundays, right? You know, the Bible tells us, you know, Christ's last commandment was us to go and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, also whether you eat or drink, you know, whatever you do, do all to the glory of Christ. So are you going to take that seriously? Are you going to go out on campus and share your faith? You know, are you going to make disciples of other students? Are you going to let your study habits reflect Christ? Is your mouth and your actions going to reflect Christ when you're in class and you're around everybody who's not? Or, you know, is your faith going to be on Sundays, and are you going to do what everybody else does during the week? So in my case, I have found it to be challenging at times to do what God has asked me to do, to be obedient. You know, I think I haven't found it challenging to be a Christian on campus, but rather just the obedience part, to step out of your comfort zone, to talk to strangers about the faith. I would say that can be the most challenging thing.
Which we'll talk about on part two of this series, but there's some things I want to talk to you about, temptations, about challenges related to men specifically, and that sort of thing. So what do you view as your greatest spiritual challenge since you've been in college?
So I would say I'm a little more unique than most college students, at least with what I struggle with, because, you know, I lead a group of men, and I don't just do a Bible study, and my men don't just come to hear about the Bible. You know, I push my men, and my men chase after God. You know, so not to pat myself on the back, because really 90% of the footwork is done by the flock that I shepherd. But when you have a group of men that take the fight that seriously, there's just a lot of spiritual warfare that gets involved. So, you know, the thoughts and temptations of absolutely everything you can imagine come into play at that point for me. So if there was a temptation mentioned in the Bible or a thought in the Bible, like at some point Satan's put that in my head. So that's what I struggle with the most, I guess. But even then, you know, it's like I don't struggle with it too much, because I have 8-7 guys at any given moment who are willing to pick up the sword, you know, and back me up. But certainly, I guess for anybody else, you know, you got drinking, you got partying, you know, that's a big struggle for some men on campus. You know, you have your purity, whether it be pornography or just having sex at parties, you know, that's a big one. You know, those are certainly the two biggest ones that I have seen to be the biggest struggle for men on campus.
Mm. Well, you know, that's, we've talked about on the previous shows, Will and I have, and another temptation and another distraction seems to be gaming. And I know I hear a lot of young men, and you know, we've even talked about this, you and I, Joshua, about how much time spent on either handhelds or on Xboxes, that sort of thing. So is that still a major play in college amongst the young men? Gaming, and obviously the pornography that you just mentioned is a big thing, drinking, partying, sexual promiscuity, all those things. So is the gaming as big as it seems to be? It must be, because the Xbox demand over Christmas was incredibly high across the country.
You know, I don't know. I, you know, there certainly has been a big stigma about video gaming, the impact that it has on, you know, the generation, their habits and their thoughts and actions. But I don't think it's that as much of a temptation, you know, as drugs and alcohol, right? Because gaming is, it's a cheap hobby. You know, everybody needs a hobby and they need a way to spend their time to enjoy themselves in college, right? And, you know, the Xbox or video games might be a one-time purchase that they can enjoy. So that's kind of where I see the high demand coming from.
Well, you know, one of the things that we when we speak about that is distraction, in that it takes, well, especially for young men, it keeps them off the, keeps them out. If they're sitting inside on a game, they're not on the basketball court, they're not in the gym working out, or they're not certainly not studying the word. So that's the concern that we've had as an older generation, seeing that develop, and just and more people sitting there playing games more and more of the of time of the day, right? So good point, though. It could be the very thing that they need to relax into to get some downtime. So folks, we're having a father-son conversation with my son, Joshua. We thank you so much for joining us. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.